Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
It's 1995, and 1995, everything happened on the same day back then.
Yeah.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined as always by the voice of CinemaSins, Jeremy Scott.
Yow!
Mm-hmm. And for Music Video Sins, Barrett Sher.
Kapow!
Ooh, nice onomatopoeia.
Kapow! Yeah. Today we're going to be doing a mini-pod.
Mini-pod!
Cappy-pod.
Marvel-pod?
Marvel-pod,
yes, yes.
Flurkin-pod?
Although Marvel-pod does have... Ooh, yeah, Flurkin-pod. Marvel-pod has connotations of an entire universe.
That's true.
It does.
But... yeah, we're going to do a mini pod of Captain Marvel movie made domestically, made $150 million over the weekend, made $500 million so far worldwide.
That's pretty good.
Bonkers.
Yeah.
That is bonkers.
Are those Black Panther numbers or
close?
Are those better or worse, do you think?
Let's see what Black Panther was after 5 days.
5 days?
Can you track that?
$500 million in 5 days.
Yeah, that's wild.
I bet you even 12 years ago when Kevin Feige or whoever sold them on this MCU concept, whatever their wildest dreams were on income doesn't come close to what they're actually making.
No, and especially for something like this, which is not like one of their capstones, right?
Right.
No pun intended, but like Black Panther too,
you know? It was exactly.
Such a worldwide phenomenon. I think that had, I mean, we'll get into it, but I think that had more... I don't know. Maybe they have the same cultural relevance because of their context.
It may because we're seeing, you know, it was an important Black Panther was an important film for, you know, Black people.
Mm-hmm.
And Captain Marvel is an important film for women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not the first female centered hero movie, but one of few. There certainly aren't enough of them.
Yep.
What'd you find?
Black Panther domestically was at $277 million.
Woo!
Domestically. Whoa. At the time. So it was probably a little bit higher worldwide.
Yeah,
wow.
I guess.
That's the only thing that I can't find right now. But that's still an amazing amount for Captain Marvel. So one thing that's weird when we got out of this movie. I looked at Rotten Tomatoes, and the critics were, like, very high on it, but people in general were not.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was at 39% after that first night with actual people who went to the theater.
But didn't they still have to go through and purge a lot of that? I read that the same people that were trolling in advance of release were also trolling after the release, and that they had to go through, and I think they had to delete, like, 10,000... user reviews.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Oh, it could be. It is at 62 now.
Okay, so I think that's part of why. But you're right. The critics seem to have enjoyed it more than the general audiences.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of what I've seen has been... Spoiler-free, this is right in the middle of the whole MCU for me. Right smack dab in the middle. I didn't dislike anything enough to really rant.
Yep.
I didn't love anything enough to really rant. There were parts of it I really, really liked. There were moments that I thought this could reach magic levels. And there are a handful of things I didn't really like. She's great.
Yes.
Sam Jackson is great after being asleep for all the MCU. They finally let him come alive. And Mendelsohn is great, especially when
he's fucking amazing
in non-human form.
Yeah.
The performances are all fantastic.
Yeah.
I had a good time. I wouldn't come out banging my gong either direction.
No, I thought. Which one is where you hated it, and which one was the you liked it? I guess you go from behind when you hate it. One thing about this, how empowering is this movie? I don't think we can really equate this with Black Panther. They try in certain moments to make this seem like it's a female empowerment movie, but there's only one tossed away line about how they were using female pilots for these new planes. And you know, that's the only way that they could get to fly a plane or whatever. But we're also talking about like the '90s and whatever. Mm-hmm. And then there's the scene towards the, I guess, middle end or whatever, where there's an action scene and they play that No Doubt I'm Just a Girl mm-hmm. song. And I'm like sitting there going, yeah, but there's never been one moment in this movie where we've doubted her abilities, or there hasn't been anybody that said, oh, you're just a woman and you can't do this and all that. So like when it gets to that just a girl part, I was just like, this is something you would put in, you know, where you the female character has been, you know, sort of like put down for the whole movie.
Right?
Yeah, marginalized. Yeah, exactly. And this character never is. So it rang really false to me to play that song at that time.
That song, I agree. That's a take I didn't have. By that time that song came on, I was pretty annoyed with the soundtrack
mm-hmm.
because it was feeling very artificial. It was feeling very, I've probably used this analogy before, but you know in Groundhog Day where they have that organic moment with the snowball fight with the kids and the snowman,
yeah,
and
yeah.
then he tries to recreate it and it's not quite as magical. Mm-hmm. And you get the sense, this is probably not even the second time he's tried to recreate it. This might be the third or fourth, and it probably gets progressively less magical as he goes on. This is pretty close,
yeah.
but it felt like they were trying to repeat steps somehow. And at the risk of three men talking about female empowerment, I do kind of feel like this could have been a male character
mm-hmm.
and the movie would have worked the same. And I do kind of think maybe that's what they were going for. Maybe that was their point, was that they didn't want to go too far out of their way to call attention to the fact that she was a woman.
Yeah, I mean, I got the struggle for her is not, just like what you're saying, is not because she's female. They had that Nike ad in the middle of it where it showed all the montages yeah. of her like getting thrown down and every time she gets back up again and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's literally a fucking Nike ad that Dwayne Wade was in like back in 5-6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, then you start seeing how she relates to her human side and all that stuff. And I guess her femininity, but I think it's more of the humanity and less of the femininity.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I totally agree with you.
And I think it was, you know, one of those moments I did feel like we approached magic was that moment where her friend gives her a pep talk
yep.
Out on the front yard. And you kind of, for me at least, you first really feel the realness of that relationship. And it gave me a little bit of goosebumps. Mm-hmm. That moment did.
Mm-hmm.
I need repeat watching to tell you whether or not I like the score. I don't really remember any moments of the score standing out to me.
It's fine. To me, it was fine. I think, if anything, like you were saying with the songs, I felt like all the 90s references were forced down my throat.
A lot
like
of them.
Mm-hmm. Slow Internet and Blockbuster and Nine Inch Nails. I like the Nine Inch Nails t-shirt because
yeah,
it looked really good on her.
Fun. Yeah, it did.
But it was still, it's the same thing you're talking about, though, right?
Yes, yes.
And, you know, I wish that could have been a little more organic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or like Sam Jackson or Nick Fury typing at the old ass computer on Word Perfect or whatever yeah. it was about the individual.
I'm curious to see how we'll address this when it comes time for sinning regarding the CGI youngening.
Yeah.
Because on Sam Jackson, I was shocked how much I didn't notice it.
I didn't notice it at all.
And on Clark Gregg, I was shocked how much I noticed it.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even really pay attention to it.
Yeah, Clark Gregg's CGI, yeah, looks kind of, yeah. Like, it looks really like they've done something.
Maybe they spent too much of the budget on Sam Jackson, because I did expect to be pulled out of the movie frequently, reminding myself, boy, he's not that young. But that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Whatever they did was kind of magical. Mm-hmm. And I was able to, I mean, that's a little frightening. about what it means about the future
exactly
and what we can and can't believe about what we see on film, but I was impressed.
I know one thing sin wise we're gonna probably have fun with is the because this is set in 1995, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
There are some things that happen that I think are out of order, like out of order for 1995. Like, for instance, Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness is being advertised in one of the CD stores or whatever.
Oh, really?
And it came out in October of 1995. Right. Meanwhile, the Stan Lee cameo has him reading a Mallrats script. Mallrats came out October 1995.
Mm-hmm.
So, they would not be advertising Melancholy and Infinite Sadness way back in, like, February or something like that. And whatever. So there'll be fun things with that. Obviously, when they make a movie, they make it. It's 1995, and 1995, everything happened on the same day back then.
Yeah. It's less of a month or a day. It's the entire year.
Right, right. So,
what else? Pre-spoiler.
I once again hate most of the action scenes.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah.
Especially the first one. That may be one of the worst action scenes they have ever made in Marvel's history, by the way. The when they're going in and they're fighting the Skrulls, they're all pretty much the same looking, and it's dark and all this.
Yes.
And I don't mean to be racist towards fictional characters and everything, but they are all the same.
Yes.
And it's in the dark. And then there's like multiple, like, here's a person who's on a high ledge somewhere, point looking down somewhere.
Yeah.
And here's somebody like in there. I don't have any sense of space. I don't have anything going on here. If you can make 50-year-old Nicole Kidman look like she's beating ass all in a one shot in Aquaman, I have a feeling you can make anybody look like a badass.
I would agree.
And everything, even though that Nicole Kidman thing isn't like seamless by any stretch, but I prefer that than what they did in that action scene.
Well, and with the Skrulls especially, there's even a prominent Skrull character in this movie that gets shot, and I thought he died.
Yeah.
And then later on, there was another Skrull talk. It took me like a half scene to realize, oh, that's that guy. He didn't die. He's still alive.
Yeah.
Is he really?
I'm pretty sure. Maybe I'm wrong. Well, I'm saying, that's what I'm saying.
And if this is a spoiler, we can cut it. But
they all look the same to me anyway.
Are you talking about the one that Jude Law shoots? Or is this one that gets shot earlier on?
I'm talking about Ben Mendelsohn.
Yeah.
He gets shot? I thought he did.
Hmm.
Well, no, you're totally right that they all look the same.
I thought it could be wrong. Regardless, the point you're making is, yes, it's hard to tell one from the other.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were a couple that, like, they look different. I don't know if they're like juvenile Skrulls.
Yes.
Or like,
yeah,
do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, because, well, I mean, they had all that focus on Ben Mendelsohn's daughter, and there's a bunch of fan theories going around about how that person turns out to be a character later on in the universe.
Oh, lovely.
I forget which one it is. But yeah, so I think there's tiny Skrulls running around, little Skrulls.
Yeah, but even there were a couple that were normal height that didn't look like all the other ones.
Hmm.
Like, again, I don't want to be racist toward fictional characters,
right,
but I was wondering if there were mutants there for a scene or two. Like, there was some kind of cross-breeding. Maybe we should just talk spoilers.
Yeah.
Letter grades?
I am going to give this one a B minus.
Hmm. I'm going to go straight up B, because it falls into the same grade that I would give First Avenger or Thor, which I probably like more than most people. Like, there's two levels to origin stories in the MCU, right? There's the Thor and Captain America. Well, some people like Captain America a lot. And this, and then there's the Black Panther, Iron Man, Spider-Man Homecoming, like all that shit.
Yeah.
That's on a different level.
Yeah.
And this is not on that level at all.
No, I think I even sent an email to you guys. It feels very much like a phase one movie. Not just because they went back to the 90s, but just in sort of tone. I'd give it a solid B. The truth of the matter is there are outliers at the top and the bottom, but almost all the MCU movies fall between B minus and A minus for me. And
actually,
you know, I think I have a reputation of being somebody that doesn't like the MCU, which I think is an unfair reputation.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't love it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have questions. I'm anxious to get into spoilers. Should we do the thing with the sound and the noise?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
No spoilers!
Kevin Spacey is Kaiser Soze.
Luke's what? Father is actually Darth Vader. She's the sister and the daughter.
No. I'm reading the books.
Spoilers. No spoilers.
You know that comes from a My Little Pony
cartoon.
Okay, I really hesitate to say this, but do we know what her powers are?
No, not really. And the movie, this is actually something I do like about it, that the movie makes it seem like her little like control-y thingy is directing her powers,
yes,
when it's actually
limiting them.
Limiting them. And that is one aspect of the plot that I loved about this movie. But yeah, once she takes that thing off, we're like, okay, she's kind of what? She's like,
she's Neo Jesus.
Yeah.
Like when she's the climax of this movie.
Yeah.
I don't get me wrong. The climax of this movie, when she goes up into space and she's zip killing Ronan's fleet, I thought it was exhilarating.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
But I thought it was exhilarating in the way that you would end the entire MCU.
Mm-hmm.
Like finally, Earth has a protector that no one can beat.
Yep.
And now you're going to tell me 23 years later, she's going to come back and just be one of the many that go after Thanos?
I have an issue with that because of what they did with Vision and Scarlet Witch over the last few
exactly.
big fights, right? They had to limit both of them somehow.
She's going to come back to Earth and go, oh, I lost half my powers. Sorry, but I'm still useful. Because by the end of that movie, if somehow they'd done this to where Captain Marvel was the end of the MCU and that this final climax up in space, light zipping, killing everything, I got almost Last Jedi vibes when he had him light speed into that enemy ship during that scene. I got goosebumps. I was loving it. But that should be it. The end.
Well, like, I mean, she is going up against Thanos, ostensibly, right? And Thanos.
But she shouldn't need fucking Iron Man.
No, well, maybe she won't get him.
Well, I'm just saying.
Is she in that hero shot, by the way, of them walking?
No, I have theories about
Avengers?
That. I have theories about
really?
That. She's not.
Okay.
I don't think they all put on those white uniforms and go wherever those people are going. I think Thor and a couple others stay behind and they meet up with Captain Marvel while the others are off quantum realming.
I got you.
Because you don't see Thor in that shot either, in that suit. And he and Natasha are the only ones that appear to be in the room when Carol shows up.
Yes.
So, anyway, that's just my theory. Maybe Bruce stays behind, too, since he's apparently useless now. He's just a filthy human.
Yeah. Shit, man.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to Captain Marvel. I did, again, it's hard to tell exactly what's happening in that final battle.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the part of the movie that exhilarated me the most, that gave me the most movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll find a way to stop her from phasing or something like that.
Isn't that going to be frustrating?
And I liked, I for a while there, I was really not enjoying this movie at all. And then once she gets back to 1995 and she starts like doing a lot of stuff with Samuel Jackson and stuff, that's where I felt like the movie was really cooking.
Yep.
And
it almost feels like a road trip movie for a while there.
It does. And I really liked her friend in this, too. Her name's Lashana Lynch, who played...
The little girl was awesome, too.
Yeah, little girl was great, too. So it was Maria Rambo and... Rambo.
I know, yeah.
And Akira Akbar.
Uh-huh.
Both of them are great, so I loved all of that. Interesting thing that this movie does, I don't know if they do it on purpose, but... I was sitting there once again. I was like, Ben Mendelsohn, this motherfucker is always the bad guy in every movie.
They must have cast him specifically for that.
And he's doing his Ready Player One and his all this, you know, same bullshit we've seen Ben Mendelsohn do all the time. And then, you know, surprise, surprise, he really isn't the bad guy after all. I figured this out, though, when Jude Law is on the phone with Brie Larson. And I was telling Barrett afterwards, this phone call seems edited and paced exactly like the phone call that Richard Kimball has in The Fugitive with... And you know, it's funny, I went through like a sort of a training class with the Dutch members of Patreon on how to pronounce that dude's name, the actor's name, and I don't remember it. I think it's Yerwin Krabbe, something along those lines. There's probably some other syllables and diphthongs and whatever, but... But the guy who plays, who's the character's name? It's Charles Nichols.
Charles Nichols.
Yeah. So when Richard Kimball was talking to Charles Nichols, that whole thing about Lentz and he died in the car accident last summer and all of that, it reminded me a lot of that, that Jude Law, Brie Larson phone call. And by the way, she's just like pulling out wires out of a phone and just like, oh, now it talks to space.
I was pretty annoyed by that shit. I know she's got magic in her fucking wrist, but Jesus.
Yeah, it's like that. There's only so much you can do with a goddamn payphone.
Yeah, yeah.
And so like, but there, that whole phone call, and I was like, you know what? Jude Law has done this before. In Spy, he was the surprise bad. Well, he wasn't surprise bad guy. He was just killed. Well, I guess he was a surprise bad guy. He was killed, and then he comes back later. And you kind of know that because Jude Law, you wouldn't put Jude Law in if he's just going to die in the first five minutes. But like that phone call was like, oh, wait a minute. Jude Law is probably bad guy. And why is he talking to Ronan? Ronan was the bad guy. And then Jaimin Hounsou isn't part of their group, too.
Yep.
And so I was like, okay. So that's where we're getting. That's where we're headed.
I figured that he was evil or sinister around that time. I didn't make the same connection.
It was so funny.
That's hilarious. But I didn't really realize how that would impact the Skrulls, though. Even when he did that reveal, the Ben Mendelsohn said, you know, this is what actually happened. I didn't know if I believed it at the time, because you could have two bad guys, right? bad fleets, bad aliens, whatever. And Captain Marvel can be the good guy. It turned out, and it took a comic turn, and it took like a nice, like he just really like started chewing into scenery once that reveal was made, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the comics, the Skrulls aren't the good guys like they are in this movie now. Mm-hmm. They kind of flipped the script there. And there's this whole run in Marvel called Secret Wars, where they find out slowly that a lot of Avengers and other heroes have actually been Skrulls.
I read about that.
Shapeshifted all along. And I feel like this is the MCU just reassuring people like me, we're not going to do that. We're not going to go that direction to where I could literally tell you anybody from any of the past movies was a Skrull.
Is that a popular series, by the way?
It is. It is, I think. Well, I think. I don't really know well enough to be an authority, but I've even seen a lot of these Avengers Endgame theories prior to this Captain Marvel coming out that included that aspect. Mm-hmm. This is going to kick off Secret Wars. And I feel like the Captain Marvel, the movie, is saying, no.
No, they're okay.
We're not going to do that.
Mm-hmm. They could, but they're not going to.
Yeah. Because right now, there's no reason for that. And maybe they'll change it again. Who knows?
I do have a question about Annette Bening's character in this.
I have lots of questions about her.
Yeah, I do too. I feel like she's a good character, but is her digital representation later, like, I guess, programmed by the Kree to be bad?
Yes, that is.
Her character's not bad.
No, she's talking in those scenes to the Supreme Intelligence, which is a whole new can of worms for the MCU as far as I'm concerned. Right? But it just manifests as Annette Bening.
Okay.
But no, I took it that Annette Bening's character was good.
Mm-hmm.
I still have lots of questions.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
By the way, that purple thing that Carol puts in her thing, is that the same kind of purple thing from Spider-Man Homecoming? Remember when she picked up that alien, I think it was a Skrull, whatever, and put it in her wrist to try and power something, and she ended up having to take it out because it was shorting her suit out? It looked like the purple things in Spider-Man Homecoming that Ned has in his pocket.
Could be. Which is, well, that's one of the Infinity Stones, right?
No, it's just... In Homecoming, Michael Keaton's just grabbing
alien
tech from like the Battle of New York and other stuff. I think they were saying, I might be wrong, I think they were saying that was the same kind of...
Oh, that's interesting.
Like battery or whatever.
But it was the Chitauri that invaded New York,
that's
right?
Correct.
But it was with Ronan. No, it wasn't with Ronan. That was Guardians. God damn it.
No, it's confusing. It's confusing.
Well, I'll tell you, let me ask you guys a question. The fucking Tesseract. Did that really need to be in this fucking movie? Now, I guess in the comics, maybe that is her origin story. That was the one that gave her her powers, basically, right? But I don't need to see that goddamn Tesseract again.
But it didn't give her powers, did it? She shot the space battery and it exploded.
Yeah, she blew
up. But that was what was powering the thing, right? The spaceship, or the ship.
Really?
Was the Tesseract.
Nah, I don't remember that part.
Really?
Yeah, when she shot it, or whoever. Yeah, she shot it to blow it up so that they couldn't get it, and it invaded her system. It was all that blue energy and all that
stuff.
That was the Tesseract in there powering those things.
I didn't know
that. That's my interpretation of it. Maybe it's wrong. But regardless, I don't need to see it in a lunchbox or swallow it. Actually, it was kind of cute that it was swallowed up by the Flurkin.
Yeah.
But like,
let me talk about this cat. Mm-hmm. I like the cat.
Mm-hmm.
I like the gag of the cat being a Flurkin, which is not explained, but then is shown, and it's humorous. I get that.
Yeah.
I don't understand why the cat refuses to do it the third time when they really need him to, except for shits and giggles.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't understand why they had to CGI the cat in half the scenes where he's not even Flurkining. He's just catting. And
They CGI'd it?
Yeah, there were a lot. Like, that whole shot where he's, like, zero gravitied up to none of that is real cat.
Yeah.
And it was bothering to me because they got Samuel Jackson's CGI better than they got the cat. And I also heard all this about the cat, only for the cat to, like, everybody was like, oh, the cat steals the movie. I didn't feel like the cat stole the movie.
No.
He's...
And I really was annoyed by the whole retconning of the eyeball. Nick Fury's eye.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was a fucking
now
cat.
That was shitty.
He literally said in Winter Soldier, the last time I trusted somebody, I lost an eye.
That's true.
That's literally what he said.
Yeah, I mean, he could be referring to this, but
the
Jesus
last time
Christ.
I trusted a cat, I lost an eye. Yeah.
Well, he also, that is also part of the mystique of how he lost his eye, too, though, right?
Yes.
Like, he keeps backing up that story that it must have been a real terrible fight. And he
maybe he's lying, is what you're
saying? He's lying, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't know why you just bring it up. You know, out of the blue, though.
Right.
I mean, nobody's asking you to defend your eye in that scene.
No, and it's like, literally, they were like, oh, well, this is in 1995, so let's throw in the origin story about Fury's eye.
Yeah.
Well, and how was the top of a salt shaker the best thing he could find to put over that eye in the last scene?
It's the hot tub time machine part of the Marvel universe.
He's just waiting for something to
happen. Yeah. And it's funny, the people next to me were obviously hardcore Marvel fans, and so like they were getting all amped up about a bunch of shit that I was like, but like when that happened, when he decided to change it to the Avengers initiative at the end because he saw the airplane or whatever, all of that, they were like, no. They were like out loud saying no.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, of course, then everybody gets all like super excited at with the first credit scene when she shows up and they start clapping and you're like, don't you know this shit's happening? Like, this isn't a surprise. This isn't like a big I don't understand people's emotions.
No, and again, we talked previously about not understanding people bawling at the end of Infinity War, even though we understand that people did.
Right.
We just don't understand. We can't process how you get there. And I'm the same way with this and any of the, like, they can kill so many of these fuckers in Endgame, and I'm personally not going to cry.
Sure.
Even if I'm sad.
Right.
It's not that kind of a movie for me. I want to talk about a couple other things I just remember. Mm-hmm. Both in the same scene, ironically, although they're completely different. Sam Jackson, when he does that, is it Mr. Postman?
Yeah.
He fucking killed that.
Oh yeah, he can sing.
Did they auto-tune that shit? Like, there was some true soul in that couple of bits of melody that he sang.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I've heard
him
sing.
When he did that, like, I can't do it, but he. Mm-hmm. I was like. What?
I bet that's actually him.
I'm sure it is, but I just didn't know he had that in him. Second, when she hands him that pager, and she says only for emergencies.
Yep.
What the kind of shit are they going to say to explain? Are they going to say he pushed it every other time and she just never came until this time?
I came out
possible.
Talking with Barrett about this very thing. I was like, they're going to have to explain something about how during all the other things that happened down on Earth during all this time, where the fuck was she? And Barrett was like, well, she's taking the Taking those guys back to taking the Skrulls back to their home planet.
That place is far away.
And I was like, no, man, this is a universe where people are like, I'm there as soon as they, I need to go to Earth. We're 93 million miles away. No problem.
If the explanation ends up being that Nick Fury thought the Avengers could handle it on their own, I'm going to flip my lid.
Yeah.
Because he would have called it in that first Avengers movie. He would have paged her ass immediately.
It's the same thing for all these characters. It's like, and we talked about this on the Ant-Man and the Wasp video, how they have the ghost character and everything. And it's like they had her going around doing all these secret jobs and everything, and she would have been perfect for a fight, a big huge fight, but she's never in there. And the reason, we know what the reason is, they didn't have any ghost character back then, but you're gonna have to give me a lot more. I mean, you're gonna have to stop making these backstories where it would have made sense for them to be in that battle. And then they're not. Give me something else. Give me something like they were like chained to a tree or something. You know?
Yeah. No. You're right. Now, my issue, I guess, ultimately is exactly what you said. Why does this movie need to exist in its current form? We can do a current Captain Marvel movie that flashes back to her origins or something like that, right?
Yeah.
But if you set it right here, it just like subverts and just raises a lot more questions than it answers about the timeline that honestly is stupid that we're obsessing over this timeline. But, you know, we've spent a lot of time with these movies.
It's kind of like stepping on the joke, right? Where you say a joke, you tell a joke that has these certain aspects to it, and then you come back and uproot all the foundation of that joke in the next joke.
Yes.
It's the same thing.
Yes.
You've taken all this stuff that we know was true and then have now subverted it, and now it doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
I think what they were trying to do is set up Captain Marvel as the anchor, the Iron Man of the next 10 years of the MCU. And to do that, they felt, I think they're wrong, but they felt they had to go back and make her the ultimate inspiration for the Avengers with her adventure here and then him seeing the plane. And that's how he even named them and trying to make her part of their history all along.
I guess so. And I understand that. And you do whatever you want, Marvel. Obviously, you don't need
my
opinion.
Seriously, yeah,
but
neither.
You can do that in a current story that doesn't fuck with your timeline and then just flash back to where, like, you know, this is where she came from. It's such a weird story. Like, she was Kree at the beginning of the movie, and then she's human, and then she has to figure out how she became alien.
She's
and,
creaming.
Like, all this. She's...
I will say, in a weird way, I have been trying to articulate this ever since I saw this movie yesterday, and I still may not get it right, but it feels like two movies, not because there are two halves, but because the movie spends so much time explaining shit to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so much exposition, there's so much you have to teach the people who aren't the ones sitting next to you who came in as huge Captain Marvel fans about the fucking Kree and the Skrull and their history.
Yep.
And that, I mean, there's so much explanation.
Well, and they have to explain what actually happened to
exactly.
the Skrull, too.
Exactly.
And that's a whole different thing.
Because then they pull the carpet out and it's even more explanation. Yeah. I feel like when we write Sins for this, we're going to like have some kind of exposition bonus round or something.
Yeah.
Because everyone has a moment, except Carol maybe, everyone has a moment where there's like a minute and a half where they're just explaining shit to you, but they're really explaining it to the audience. Yes. Because it's confusing.
Yeah. I guess also going back to that point about them explaining all this stuff and trying to fit them into the whole universe and everything, that's almost prequelitis type of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
We saw it in Star Wars prequels. We saw it in The Hobbit. We saw all that where they had to force the characters that you loved in the original trilogies in there somehow, or they had to give, you know, fan service to it. Captain Marvel does not need to have all of this influence on the Marvel.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't have
yeah.
to, they don't need that. And yeah, one simple little thing that tells us, and I'm sure in Endgame there'll probably be something in there where they're like, hell, he forgot he had the pager.
Or Loki stole it.
Yeah, yeah, Loki stole it. Or, you know, yeah, you know, some asshole took it and they had to go for 14 years to hunt him down and everything. You know, I just rather them just say she was never a part of the equation. There was never an idea that...
She, yeah, yeah. And yeah. that, I mean, that's the issue that I have with the Tesseract, because the Tesseract was recovered by Stark, Howard Stark,
mm-hmm.
way back in First Avenger, right?
Mm.
Well,
that was
yeah,
the one on the bottom
and
of the.
Then it's found in, I believe, isn't it Captain America, the first one where they.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, I guess it's just been sitting around in S.H.I.E.L.D. or whatever for the longest time.
Well, then what is Annette Bening's character doing with it?
I tell you what, man. I don't know. When it gets to these Infinity Stones and where they were and all this type of stuff, I've watched the whole series twice and I can't tell you.
Yeah.
Because there's six of these motherfuckers and they all have these, they're all in different packages. They all have different powers. Mm. They all been passed around different places. They've been given to other people and all that. I mean, I'm going to have to watch it all again and figure out where this Tesseract, the Tesseract timeline is probably one of the most, you know, the craziest zigzaggy timeline that you could ever have.
There's another thing.
They just put it in there to troll people.
And look,
we
had
another dimension to this.
I know that we'll post this on Facebook and all the Marvel people will be giving me the explanations and shit, but I understand there's an explanation here, but God, it's impossible.
One thing I didn't understand or like very much is the honeycomb, like hyperspeed space travel thing where they like leave the planet and they're still like within orbit distance of the planet and somehow a grid of like octagons appears and they mm-hmm. go through one of them, then boom, turns black and opens and they go through it and then boom, the next thing you know they're at Earth. And I'm like, you spent how many hours gearing up and getting on a spaceship and launching? Why don't you just take that technology from the stratosphere down to Earth and just fucking call it a transporter and stop with the spaceship bullshit?
Oh, that's interesting. Now, I think that's a hyper jump or whatever they call it. The same shit that they use in Guardians, where they go through all the different jumps to get to a faraway place.
God, I've purged so much of that movie.
Their face and all that stuff.
I think you're right.
But my issue is, has that been there the whole fucking time, or has it been dismantled since 1995 or whatever it is? You know,
well, like Thanos'
henchmen
right?
in
Infinity War, did they use that?
No.
Did you remember? I don't remember seeing that where over Earth where it like shows up and like a circular ship flies through. I felt like they just space traveled there.
One of the things that could be explained about how Hulk got to the trash planet in Ragnarok
mm-hmm.
is that when he went off in the Quinjet or whatever it was, he accidentally hit that, and it diverted him over to the space planet through the giant devil's butthole or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Devil's butthole, yep. That's right.
Isn't that actually what they call it?
It like, is.
Yes.
Satan's anus or something like that?
Yeah, because they keep saying, we got to go towards the anus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, no, I mean, I think that's a cool idea that there's a space jump right next to Earth, because that opens up the whole cosmic realm and all that stuff and makes it quote-unquote believable that you could travel long distances, but also makes it even more frustrating why Captain Marvel couldn't just use that to come back and help this motherfuckers out for the Avengers.
Yeah. That's
what I mean. Or for Age of Ultron. Or for any of these other ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're always going to have questions.
There's going to be an explanation, I'm sure, but it's going to be one of those where I'm going to put my hands up in the air.
It's like how they got to Siberia in Civil War so quickly.
Yeah.
Black Panther.
Oh,
right,
my God.
Too.
That's so ridiculous. Let's talk about Civil War for the next 30 minutes.
Oh, I did like, you know, there's a couple things I really liked. I think I really want to watch this again, having read reviews by somebody like Leonard Maltin or other people that are describing the context of the female lead
mm-hmm.
and the two females, the three, I guess, that really anchor this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to watch it through that lens and not so much just as a fan of the MCU and like wanting it to be, you know, better than it is. I want to see it like kind of with that context to see if, you know, if that outweighs the issues that I had with it. One of the things that I really did appreciate is that there's no fucking love interest in this.
Yeah.
They're not cramming it together. She doesn't fall in love with Fury on that road trip or anything like that. Or Jude Law, there's some like possible romantic banter
at
the beginning.
Yeah, kind of a weird,
but
like,
it fizzles.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost, would you say almost brother-sister kind of?
Yeah,
almost.
I think so. Yeah.
Because, there's never any thought really that you have that they've like been having sex or anything, or could have sex in that. All those scenes, but
by the way, I also wanted to point out, sorry to interrupt, I noticed something that I'm going to send when we send this movie. Mm-hmm. In the Blockbuster, they have on the shelf Hudsucker Proxy and then Hook.
Mm.
Alphabetically, That is from left to right up. Yes. Yeah, that is. I used to manage a Blockbuster, and I certainly shopped at a bunch of Blockbusters, and you would not put Hudsucker Proxy before Hook.
I honestly can't wait to send this movie for for all that, the Blockbuster video.
Let's just go and do it in the theater.
There's so many things that are they're in that 1990. Like, how many times, I mean, how many videos do you think are in that Blockbuster that might be like a year or later?
Post 95.
You're
gonna be going through that frame by frame, you bet your ass
I'm going to.
I mean, even Hudsucker Proxy's on this borderline.
Yeah,
that'll be interesting.
But there'll be some fun looking at the video cassettes and all the standees they have in there, and because obviously the music too, and I already pointed out that melancholy thing with the Mallrats already doesn't make sense. Gonna get sinned, motherfuckers.
What was the song that played over the final credits?
I don't know. I had left the theater.
Oh, had you?
Dude, I'm not doing these credit scenes.
What was the... I'm asking two questions at once. But the reason that I ask that is that I believe that song came out after 1995, like specifically.
Oh, but it's like a 90s song in the credits? Oh, it's Celebrity Skin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because I remember walking through the hallway going, well, at least this song's awesome. I love that song.
Yeah, I do too.
Does anybody know what happened? Now, we saw the end game credit scene and then left.
Yes.
So what was the other one?
The cat pukes the Tesseract up on Sam Jackson's desk.
Okay. Yeah. It was funny because Barrett bought tickets and we were not sitting together. And like, I was like, all right, there's always like one big credit scene that actually matters that goes like somewhere in the after the big credits or whatever. And after that was done, I walked down and I looked at him and he's like, he nodded and he got up.
Those very end ones,
like there's no value to sitting in the theater for 10 minutes.
And especially if it's an ant drumming, right?
Right.
Even the mid credit scenes, even if you want to see them, they're not part of the movie you just watched. They're always some kind of tease.
Right.
Every scene that I need to watch for your movie needs to come before the credits. You can put anything you want after the credits, but I won't be there.
I'm fine with the mid-credits scene because that is objectively, maybe two and a half minutes, something like that.
Yeah, you don't have to wait very long for those.
But those in-credit scenes, I don't even care if it's like something super, super important. I'm not going to sit around. It's like probably 8-9 minutes or something like
most,
that.
Especially for these
big fucking like Infinity War.
Yep.
It seemed like that went on for forever.
Well, and I was already I ranted on Twitter already. I sat through 9 fucking trailers for this movie.
Mm. Yep.
And I know there's 20% of the people out there that seem to think, I like trailers. Why don't you just go late? And I'm like, okay, but how do I know exactly what time to go?
Yeah.
It's not like there seem to be these people out there that think it's always exactly 15 minutes or 20 minutes.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, I used to build these fucking packages. Mm-hmm. Every trailer is different. Mm. And so I go when the show starts or a few minutes after, but I'm not going to. I don't want to miss any movie just trying to time it right.
I'll tell you something. I love freaking trailers.
Yeah.
But I don't like sitting through 9 of them.
The same way.
Before a movie. And now the way things are, you don't have to see these previews before movies anymore. Mm. Like, you see stuff trending on Twitter now, and you have a whole bunch of stuff that you can just watch the trailer from the comfort of your own home, whereas back in the 90s and everything,
yeah,
didn't have
this
that.
Is the only way. By the way, 2 trailers I saw recently that are awesome is Good Boys and Booksmart. Have you seen either one?
Good
of those?
Boys, I saw the Booksmart one.
Oh, I saw the other one. Good Boys looks fucking hilarious.
They both look fucking awesome to me.
Yeah.
I can't wait. And Booksmart is Olivia Wilde's directorial debut.
Mm-hmm.
And has that Caitlin Dever girl I said a couple episodes ago was an up-and-comer.
Yeah.
What was she from?
She's from Last Man Standing, the Tim Allen TV show.
Oh, interesting.
Anyway,
I think the problem with 9 trailers is that you just forget so much of it.
Absolutely. I don't know exactly which ones we saw. If it was a recognition and not a recall, I could probably say yeah, it was there.
Yeah. And so once 9 go through, you're just the last 4, you're just saying fuck you to.
Seriously, I'm literally sitting every single time by the time we get to trailer 8, I'm like, Jesus Christ, let's get on with it. And I'm starting the movie. I want to love all movies I see. I realize that my reputation doesn't suggest that, but that's the truth. But I'm starting coming in a sour place because you can't give me 5.
Yeah.
5 used to do it just fine. What happened to 5?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like 5.
5 was good. Everybody can live with 5. Mm-hmm. 9?
No.
I'm going to slap you around, motherfucker.
I've seen as many as 10 before.
I have too. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's our thoughts on Captain Marvel and a whole bunch of other shit. if you want to talk about this very episode, you can go to Sincast presented by CinemaSins on Facebook. CinemaSins, Twitter, Reddit, Patreons. We got Discord.
SoundCloud? Did you say SoundCloud?
SoundCloud.
Yeah, the Pittsburghs in Pittsburgh.
Yes. Sorry. We have a lot of places that you can come and talk about this episode, but that'll do it for this mini-pod.
Mini-pod!
It's Chris Atkinson. Flurky-pod. Flurky-pod.
Yes.
This is Chris Atkinson, Jeremy Scott, and Barrett Scherer. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.
Okay, Celebrity Skin came out in September of 1998.
I knew that one.
Whoa.
So not even close.
Whoa, I would have never guessed that. And Daredevil is done in such a way that you don't consider that there's any sort of disability there.
Because,
yeah, he's blind, but he can practically see.
His hearing helps him see.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the raindrops sure look like Jennifer Garner.
Right. It's true. It's very true.
So you saw the Avengers trailer?
Yeah. Yeah.
You liked it?
I did. Did you not?
I did. Have you seen it?
Yes. I didn't like it.
I think I'm right in between because the whole Tony thing and Nebula, and again, they could be fucking with us.
Yeah.
But that kind of makes me annoyed too.
That you show them, oh, we're going to die in space, we're drifting, and then 30 seconds later in the trailer, they made it back.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and if they are fucking with this, I think I'm angrier than for them spoiling that they get back.
But they have, I mean, we think they might have done that with Infinity War. We can't say for sure. They may have just rewritten. But for Spider-Man Homecoming, they flat out said they made up that shot in the trailer of Tony flying and Spider-Man swinging together
right.
through the city. That's nowhere in the goddamn movie. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Don't fudge me.
No. The rest of it, I think, is really cool.
Mm.
Why did you not like it?
I know that they like to show you where the characters were, like, way back when
oh,
and everything.
God.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
yeah,
that
yeah.
takes up half the trailer.
It does.
It did.
I don't need to see Cap looking into that fucking poster
yeah,
again.
I mean, and that's kind of annoying. I agree with that.
So, I mean, yeah, everything as far as the actual movie, fine.
Yeah.
But I don't like it when they do that because... Yeah, I mean, it is kind of like a thing for the fans, you know. Oh wow, look at where they started and all that. But just give me the fucking footage of the movie.
Yeah,
I mean, come on, they're getting everything they need in that room.
What are they bitching about?
Snowflakes.
All right, let me check our levels,
Jerry.
I don't know why I said that like Jerry Lewis.
Levels,
nice lady.